Now I have the pleasure of bringing on Lance Bates, CEO, Next Gen Septics. How you doing, Lance?
Doing good.
Thanks for joining me on the show. Next Gen Septics, how did you get into that?
Well, we'd have to back up a little bit and I guess start with where I started as a young man. Coming out of high school, started in the construction background industry. I signed into the union, worked for DeSilva Gates for probably 2 or 3 years, worked my way to the top.
This was just after high school?
Just after high school. And came out of that, went to Peter Kiewit, went on to Tykert, and saw myself really excelling quickly through the companies and wondered, you know, I'm sitting here saving and making these guys so much money. Why am I not doing it for myself?
Ah.
And that's when I took that leap and that risk to say, I got to do something for myself. And I bought my first property. I fixed it up. I sold it. I made some money. I said, okay, I can do something here. And I started doing it time and time again. Then I started getting into bigger properties, doing land development. And in the land development arena, some of the biggest challenges for land developers is not only the economy and your timeline of getting your maps and your entitlements, et cetera, but your on-site and your off-site costs, power, water, sewer.
Okay.
And through that, one of the biggest ones was wastewater. Where is the sewer coming from? If you got a pipeline that's miles away, it's going to cost you millions of dollars. It probably kills the project. So in that time frame, I was searching for, there's got to be another solution for our projects. You know, we do anywhere from 100 to 500 lot subdivisions. What can we do? What else is there for these rural developments? And I came across the Presby Advanced EnviroSeptic product. It's manufactured in New Hampshire. It is a passive wastewater treatment system.
Okay.
So unlike the other, you know, companies out there in my competition that have ATUs, they're mechanical. So they have pumps, controllers, phone lines.
Okay, so I'm going to break it down for the non-construction people out there. Well, I'm going to attempt to here. I'm going to have you do it. So you brought into the office, you brought in this pipe, and it looks like almost a sample or a demo model of what the pipe looks like. So we're talking about the waste stream, the crap, if you will, that comes out of our homes and where it goes to. Yours is a septic system where the crap runs in a different way?
So what happens is all septic systems, whether you're, you know, in the city and you're hooked to the main sewer line, the sewer lines are all taking it to a wastewater plant somewhere. And those wastewater plants are separating the solids from the liquid. So the waste from the liquid.
Okay.
In that process, they can treat the water, they can reuse the water if their plants are of adequate to do so. Most of the plants around the nation are not. There's only a few, one in San Diego, that actually treats wastewater back to drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where we're going. It's like solar. You know, you've seen the evolution of it and where it's going. Wastewater is just 10, 15 years behind it, but it's tracking the same direction.
Gotcha.
So what happens when you're not in the city limits and you're not connected to a sewer line, you have to have a septic system or a treatment system. So every septic or treatment system has a tank. That's the first part of a septic system. That's where all of the solids and everything out of the house is going to collect. Then from that tank, it will flow over into what most people would know is a leach field.
Right.
Or a conventional leach field. Mm-hmm. And that's just pipes and rock trenches. It's just dispersing that dirty water into the ground. The problem with that is that water is dirty water. It's contaminated. So you're relying on the soils to treat it. Well, what happens is the soils plug up like the pores in our skin, hot and water and cold water, open or close your pores. It does the same thing. And what happens is it creates a biomat. It creates like a grease layer, almost like when you cook bacon in a pan and then you pull the pan off the stove and it creates a hard layer, you pour water on it, sits on top. It's the same concept. So what happens is people put in these septic systems, and the law has been written that if they designate 1,000 square feet for your septic system, you have to have 1,000 square feet of reserve area. Well, why do they require a reserve area? Because they know the systems are going to fail.
Okay.
That's the reason they have that reserve area. And what happens is...
Reserve area on the land, it takes up more room, so you have your leach field need to be considered big.
Big, correct. Yeah, and sometimes it takes up their whole land. They can't put a vegetable garden in, a pool, an extra
shop. You don't want to plant... Can you plant stuff on top of the leach field?
You shouldn't. I mean, you know, like ground cover, grass, stuff of that nature, but not trees.
Okay.
You know, you don't want roots to go in there, things of that nature. But I think the biggest thing is when you look at conventional leach fields and you look at, you know, this is a grudge spend arena. You build a house, when someone comes to build a new home, they're dreaming of, oh, how my new home's going to look.
Right.
I want granite countertops and I want this nice paint and we want rock outside. They don't really, you know, think about the septic.
Right.
And they think, oh, well, we'll just deal with the septic later. It's cheap. It's inexpensive. We don't have to worry about it. Then they get down the road and they've done their house and they're maybe not completed, but now they got held up by the county and says, hey, you got to have a septic, you know, permit to in order to finish this build. And they get down the line and they go, wow, this is going to cost us $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for a 3-bedroom house.
Yeah.
And now they start thinking, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have to cut back on the granite countertops. You know what your wife or my wife would say is they'd say, we're not cutting back on the granite countertops. You better figure out how that septic system's going in. So, you know, in order, you know, for, I guess it to be a better longevity, not a better longevity, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but a, you know, for the clients, the biggest thing is they don't want to spend a lot of money.
Right, right.
They want something that's cheap, fast, and is going to work. Right? They're going to take a shower, use the restroom, and not worry about it.
Right.
You know, over the course of time.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was, I'm picturing, like, say it's a half-acre lot, and you've got to do a septic because you don't have access to the
sewer.
To the sewer. And you've got to set aside, you know, a decent percentage of your property out there for the leach fields, and you know it's kind of like a unused area.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So, but your product though, why is it different? Right. So you brought me this sample, I suppose, if you will, and it's got the different grades in it. And does it do something different, or is it just a smaller footprint?
It's just a different way of how the system is designed. All of the systems today require control panels, require electricity, phone lines, pumps, blowers, heaters, sprayers. They have to induce oxygen into, say, like a tank that has filters in it. And oxygen is what treats wastewater. Okay? You get aerobic treatment. That is the best form of wastewater treatment. So they have to have pods that come in. They have all these pumps, all these electrical lines, mechanical devices, and they're forcing oxygen into the system to make it work. So they still have a system, and they have a tank prior to it. Well, after that system they put in, they still have to have a dispersal field. They have to get rid of that water. Where's it going to go?
Right.
So they still got to have a dispersal field that takes up land.
Yes.
With our system, it treats and disperses in the same footprint.
Okay.
It has no mechanical
Where
devices.
Where does the crap go?
So in the actual pipe itself, the white is always on the bottom, so it seems always at the top. This is all of the water coming from the septic tank.
Right.
Okay. So there's no solids coming through here.
So this is like it looks like about a 12-inch pipe or something like that.
It is a 12-inch
pipe,
okay. Correct.
Yeah.
So it's similar to the same design as a conventional leach field. They just use a 4-inch pipe. They use rock.
Okay.
And they're just dispersing dirty water. We use a 12-inch pipe, and we cover it and surround it in sand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It acts as immediate, acts as back pressure on the pipe to keep effluent inside the pipe, and it also helps wick away the moisture.
Okay.
Okay. So because it's totally sealed in this geotextile fabric here, nothing can come through this.
Okay.
Besides clean water.
Okay.
So what happens is you get a treatment process in here that's happening naturally through gravity, and through passive oxygen. We have a low vent and we have a high vent, which are most of the vents on the roofs of our buildings and our homes. So it pulls air through the low vent and out the high vent, creating that oxygen and that aerobic digestion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what treats the effluent.
Oh, gotcha.
So by the time the water comes out of the system, it looks like drinking water.
Wow.
You couldn't tell the difference besides it has pathogens and it make you very sick.
Okay. Okay, so it treats the water as it's going through. Okay, so we've got down into the product a little bit. Let's get down into the entrepreneurial journey again. You talked about, you know, you've had the success, and then you decide to pivot. You're just an opportunistic person. Where did that come from? How did you, what influenced the decision?
I think, you know, growing up, my father has always been a very successful entrepreneur. He started as a young man in the meatpacking industry, found out what that was like, making 2% profit, you know, and slaughtering thousands of cattle a day. And he took it from there into construction and land development. And he's probably dabbled in a little bit of almost every business out there in today's, you know, current society. And so, you know, as growing up, father and son having the same, I guess, thought process and mentality, we butted heads a lot.
Ah.
And so it's a good thing, I guess, because it kind of set me on my own journey. And he said, well, go out there and see what you can do, you know? And so that's what set me off into the construction side of things, because growing up as a young kid, I learned to run equipment at 6, 7, 8.
Wow.
You know, doing that stuff that was exciting as a young kid. You know, it excited you to get on a big tractor and go run it and do something with it. And I was good at it and I liked it. So one thing led to another. I went from that And then I started buying my own properties and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the economy tanked in 2005 and six, I started seeing deals out there, and I was like, man, I can buy these houses for $100,000. I can put 30 in them. I can probably flip it for $250,000. And the first one I did within 60 days, and I was like, oh my God,
wow.
It unleashed what I saw inside.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just took it from there and just started scaling it.
So you're just one of those people that sort of jumps on opportunity. But I want to go back a second here. You said you butted heads with your dad. What did that look like?
It's more of like, you know, this is how you should be doing things. And I'm like, no, this is how I think I should be doing things. And he's trying to say, look, son, I'm trying to teach you from my past and what I've learned and the hard roads and the things that I've hit and save you from hitting them.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think when you're young, you know, you're thick-headed, you're not thinking, you know, correctly. You think dad's trying to tell you how to do everything. You're like, I can do it myself. I'm my own man, you know. And so you bump heads in that way.
Who was right?
He was right. He was definitely right. You know, I guess the wisdom is what I look at more today. You know, when I meet business people, when I'm out there introducing our product all over the state. I mean, we basically handle the West Coast, and I meet so many great people. And the best part of it is seeing some of the folks my dad's age and them going through what I've already gone through, because I fight battles every day. There's obstacles every day in my life, but I don't back down on them. I don't say no to things. I don't take no for an answer. I keep pushing. I keep driving nonstop like a Mack truck. If I can't go around you, I can't go over you, go under, I'm going through you,
mm-hmm.
You know? And that's just the motivation, the passion you have to have. You know, if you see something in a product or in a business, or if it's your own business and you want to take it to that next level, I have big dreams. And so I push for them every day, and my staff and my people know the same. You know,
What battles? Tell me about these battles you go through.
I mean, you go through regulatory battles and dealing with land development and dealing with septic, power, water. You know, especially in California, you have a lot of, it's almost political now. It's almost become political. And, you know, there's laws and regs, and it's like we keep adopting new laws, we keep adopting new regs. And all these laws and regs, all they do is increase, you know, the amount of money that everybody needs to make, but the wages aren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So how do people expect to afford when their septic system fails $40,000? I can come and offer to them for $15,000.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely hurting the competition. But at the same time, I mean, how can they afford it? So why do we put all these rules and regulations into place to force people into a certain avenue where then monopolies get created? You know, I think it should be open. I think it should be fair. I think people should be able to decide what they want to do. I don't think the regulations, and sometimes it's more political because they see a product coming into a market and I'm competition's friend of a brother of another, mm-hmm. and hey, this guy's affecting my business. And then they want to say, well, we're going to change your approval process. And so now I have to jump through more hoops.
Yeah.
And it's just roadblocks that put in front of you.
So the business is advancing, it's growing. What's the big dream today?
I think by our fifth year, we're in our second year now, but I would assume, just looking at things right now, by the fifth year, we should have between 80-90% market in the state of California alone.
Wow.
And so we got 40 million people plus in California, about 2.7 million right now failing septic systems throughout the state. You know, we're basically coming at this in a different angle than most of our competitors. You know, we have a disruptive product.
Well, it's obviously less money. It takes up a smaller footprint, and the water comes out cleaner, right?
Absolutely. And the best part about it is that by not having mechanical components, that means not having anything that's going to fail. It's not if, it's when, right? It's like our cell phones or our computers. They're going to break at some point. Not if, when. So the same thing with this pipe is if you don't have any mechanical components to fail, you don't have any filters to clean, no additives to put in it, you don't have any maintenance.
Yeah.
And it can't fail. And if it was, for some reason, something to go wrong and it was to say fail, technically fail, because they don't have failures, they would easily excavate the end of the line, open it up, and maybe the guy didn't pump his septic tank for 20 years and it filled.
Yeah.
So now you HVAC the line within 72 hours, it's back up and going, plug the cap.
So thinking
business.
About this, how much of your business is going to be on the replacement side versus new construction?
You know, from what I've seen so far, I would say we probably have 70% of the business is replacement. Because right now is in the time frame back in the 70s and the 80s when they started putting in conventional leach fields. And now they're filling up, they're backing up, they're going into the houses, or they're coming up through the surface. Mm-hmm. So we're in a very, very good time zone. And what I've been seeing is the treatment category, conventional doesn't supply treatment, conventional leach fields. They're just dumping water in the ground, relying on the ground. Treatment categories, you have to treat before it hits the ground. So that's where we're at. And the treatment market in 2017 was at like $800 million in the state. This year, they project $1.9 billion. Next year, they project $4.6 billion. So there's a shift happening, like that happened with solar. And now they're mandating solar on every new house that gets built. I see the same thing with septic coming down the line because, you know, this product is a recycled plastic. It's made from polyethylene and polyurethane. It's completely made, you know, all the fibers around it are all recycled plastic. So it's an environmental friendly product. It's protecting the environment and the water beneath. So I think in the long run, you know, you're looking at a product that, hey, if we put something in and we got to spend $20,000, $30,000 on a septic system, most of the systems out there, their average lifespan is 10 to 15 years. This thing has been in the ground now for 25 years. We have zero failures from the product. We have less than 1% from incorrect installation because someone didn't put it in correctly. So the product doesn't fail.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the inventor made a statement saying, you know, this product, if installed properly, there's no reason it shouldn't outlast you in the home.
Wow.
Which is what we want.
Yeah.
You know?
How much of your time is spent, is it more with the product or is any of it spent at the installation level? Because that seems like it would be a dirty job.
I don't spend much time on the installation level. We're more...
Especially on a replacement type thing.
Yeah, I don't like getting my hands dirty in that. I leave that up to the contractor, but we're very well versed in how it's installed. What we do is with most of our contractors or dealers out there on the first installs to kind of get them going so they really understand the product is to go out there and do the install with them. Mind you that, you know, this is in a new area of land. We can't put it in the area that their previous septic was in. So there's nothing there to worry about as far as contaminants. And, you know, it's really simple. I mean, my daughter, my 13-year-old, she saw it when she first saw it. She was like, Dad, what is that? And I'm like, it's a septic pipe. And she's like, that thing's weird looking. I was like, yeah, you're going to come out to the field one day and you're going to help me with this. So we went out to a job and the installer's there and he's got his bed dug and he's got his sand laid out. And we pulled the pipes out of the truck and he goes, okay, so how long is this going to take? And I said, well, about 15 minutes because I got to leave. I've got soccer practice with her. And he goes, really? And we jumped out. We laid the pipes out in 15 minutes. We had the entire system connected together. And he was like, you've got to be kidding me. He's like, all I got to do is put sand over it. No, all you have to do is put sand over it. So it saved him time, which therefore increases his cash flow because now he can do more jobs.
Absolutely.
So it kind of helps everybody in the industry. And the biggest one, I guess, is the homeowners. You know, they're benefiting on a cost standpoint, on a size standpoint, environmental friendly. They're not going to have to worry about it failing and calling me because I don't want that phone call. I want to make sure they get a product that's going to work and they're going to be happy and recommend me.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to get back into the mind of the entrepreneur for a second here. Your dad was an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur. Your dad obviously parented you in a certain way. Contrast your parenting style to your dad's. Now you're raising this 13-year-old girl. She's out on the job site with you. How would you say you're different?
How I'm different from her?
Your dad. How are you different in parenting from your father?
It's funny because when you ask that question, I look at it and I guess in a lot of ways I'm similar. You know, we have that, I guess that we want to show our kids that, you know, you can do good. You can do anything you want to do. You got to put your mind to it and you got to work hard for it. And you got to have goals and ambition and drive. And, you know, you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? You make your bed, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, you get to work. And so I guess I've always had that mentality and I've instilled it in my daughter and she's that way. I mean, she's soccer, volleyball, horseback, singing, dance, gymnastics now. I mean, she's every sport she can do, she wants to do. She wants to go hunting. She wants to come and work. She wants to run the excavators. So it's, I guess it's exciting for me. And at the same time, I see her now at the age of 13 trying to boss me around and tell me what
heads
to do.
Again.
So it kind of comes full circle.
I love it. Okay, so now relationship with your father today.
Great. I look up to him. I look back on, you know, when I was young and I told him no and I disagreed with him and bumped heads. And, you know, everybody has those falling outs with their parents or they have that conversation at some point in life where you're just like, maybe it's just I need some space. You know, family and business right here isn't working for me. And I look back now and I appreciate everything that he's taught me and just the privilege to be opened up to, you know, having those opportunities that I did have, you know, which helped me excel in my own business. You know, my dad is a very successful man, but he never handed me anything. He always, you know, instilled in me that you're going to work for it. You're going to build something on your own so that I know that if I taught you anything in life, I taught you respect, loyalty, and how to work hard. And that was his main thing. And I guess I take it back and I look at it and when I think about employees and people that we work with, I'm the same way. You know, I want everybody to succeed. I want everybody to be happy and healthy and have their time off. But you got to work hard if you want to get somewhere, you know, and you got to put in your time.
I love it. Lance Bates, talking a little bit about fatherhood, what it's like to be raised by an entrepreneur. And look what's happened for you. You're building this incredible game-changing septic company. Thank you for sharing your story. And you know what? I think you motivated a few of us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Lance.